Blog Talk Radio.
Sing a song of love because of who you are. I offer you my love, surrendering my all, a living sacrifice because of who you are.
Thank you. that my season can be healed. If my season can be delivered. Though the pressures of life seem to weigh you down, I just don't know which way to turn. God is your son, and he's working it out for you. The child of the uncle came before he can try it. That marriage, that's on the verge of waking up. For the host of time, you have to walk alone. Now you ask yourself, is there a master to the Lord? You need blessing, and you need running away. God is crucial, and he's working his counsel for you. No peace in the home. Where you the job? The bills are due. And your head is God is watching, and he's working it out for you. I know that he is, I know that he is. He's working it out. He's working out the problem right now, yes he is. He's working it out. You have to work out the problem. He's working it out. God is concerned about your problem. Yes, he is. He's working it out. Yeah.
Why are my Good evening, friends and neighbors in Radio Land. We are indeed happy to come in your homes, to ride in your cars, your place of business, or wherever you may be at this very present moment. We are convinced that we can nullify evil speaking matters and anything that separates man from God, keep us from knowing because we know. And we want you to know that God is still on the throne. Not only that, but we want you also to know that God is moving. And this is the day of God's moving. When others have given up and became weary and discouraged on account of certain conditions, and then there are multitudes of people in the valley of decision. We have fears without fears that when we would do good, evil is always present. In the midst of sickness and in the midst of disease, in the midst of stress and in the midst of strain, in the midst of the overpowering of drugs and alcohol and even violence, the fact remains the same. And that fact is the fact that God is still moving. He's moving in me, and I hope and I trust by now he is moving in you. Today I want to talk to you briefly from Numbers chapter 20, verses 7 through 9, and you can read that on your, for the sake of time, I will not read it, but you can read that at your earliest or latest convenience. If you ever measured yourself and came up short, if you ever poured yourself into a ministry, a company, a job, a person, and didn't quite get the results you wanted, if you ever been good to somebody and they weren't necessarily good to you, if you have ever given your best to somebody and they act like it wasn't nothing at all. If the trials of life have got you frustrated, then this message, my brothers and sisters, is for you. Today's message, I had enough. I had enough. I the thing I like about God, God has a way of drawing out. God drug you out of the water. Out of the water, a baby. How did and out of the baby could be called Moses could be called the pastor of the Old Testament. Moses kills a man and runs out into the wilderness, and now he is nothing more than a runaway convict. Yes, running from the wilderness. This man called Moses has an encounter with God. God said to Moses, go back to the place you're running from and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. See, watch this. This is an amazing moment for Moses. Not only does he get to lead God's people, but he gets to go back to the people he is connected to. Moses gets to go back to Egypt, back to his culture, his roots, if you will, and be reconnected with his brothers. Oh, my God. This is a good idea to be connected back with your brothers. Oh, God, this even feels good in theory. Feels good because we eat the same food, we dance the same dance, we like the same colors. It feels good. In fact, this is the most awesomest idea, God, that you had came up with yet, to be reconnected with my family, especially since I never had it. But I come to Blog Talk to tell you by the way of Alliance, Ohio, on my way to heaven, to tell you that sometimes things are better in your head than they actually are in a real life. So now Moses is back, and he's got God, and he's got God's will, and he's got God's might, and he's leading his own people out of something bad into something good. And yet his own people don't like it. I said all that to say, when you're leading God's people out of something bad and into something good, you better be prepared for some haters. I have some haters. If we are going to be honest with ourselves, we got some haters out there, if you will. Now, you know you got some haters. If you don't, keep getting up and lying down, and sooner or later, you're going to run into some haters. I was before you, and they hated me. Jesus said, count it not strange if this world hates you. Why? Because Jesus says, I was before you and they hated me. Just be prepared for some haters. And one thing about some haters, don't even know why they hate you, but they do. Oh, this is about to get a little rocky, because a lot of times I can do, all I can do is sit and listen to the word of God, and all I can do is rock. Say amen to the truth. Rock back and forth to back to the word. Moses is back with his people that he is connected to, and he's leading them out. And you would think they would be happy with him, but they're not. But he's leading them out of slavery, but they were fighting the one that is leading them out. Now, this is frustrating to the point that you are frustrated with frustration. Moses has been dealing with these Nicky-poops, if I may call them Nicky-poops, for 120 years. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but life is one big university. And whether you want to take the class or not, you got to take the class, because honey baby sugar pie, life will teach you something. They've been through many changes, toils and snares, hell and high water, just to hide in the wilderness. Now, this is a group. What is a group of children? This is the children of the first that Moses led, and they were some murmurers and complainers, and they were some murmurers and some complainers. grumblers. And so, quite naturally, the children is going to be just like their parents. Their children are nasty because their parents were nasty. And we know that the apple don't fall too far from the tree unless it's on a hill. The children had unbelief because they were the children of the parents of unbelief. Not only that, but these children were just as hateful as their parents were. Moses led their fathers. Now, he's leading a first generation of hatred. And Moses is old. Can I speak a word on Medicare Part B, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and AARP? Children need someone young to deal with them, because when you're 50 and 60 and 70, sometimes your patients run out. See, what we did when we were kids, we thought was cute. Now that we're old, we see the same thing in our kids. We want to come out swinging a machete and saying, "Hockey, hockey, yuck." See, Moses is leading a whole entire new generation. And the difference is their parents. Their parents died in the wilderness, but this is to be the chosen generation to make the promised land. Now, the children began to murmur and to complain. Moses comes to God and says, they're doing that thing that their parents did, and I'm coming to you because I'm frustrated to the point of frustration with these nickapoops. Now, that's Minister Amos Collins' version. Moses says, "What shall I do?" And God says, "We're going to do the same thing we did with the first generation, but we're going to modify it just a little bit. Instead of smiting the rock, I want you to speak to the rock." And Moses says, "Cool, cool," and gives God power. Once again, that's Minister Amos's version. Now, these people had got on Moses' last nerve, so much and so, till Moses speaks to the people and smites the rock. And he is not able to make it to the promised land through all of this. Moses doesn't understand that God is using his life to reflect what he would later do with Christ. See, the reason God told Moses to smite the rock the first time is it represented Christ being crucified, and Moses strikes the rock a second time, and therefore Moses had to be punished. Now, why did Moses strike the rock a second time when Jesus only had to die once? The rock is in the water. Speak to the rock, and the water will flow just by you speaking the word. So I submit to you today, but the water you need, it's in the word. The healing that you need, it's in the word. The breakthrough that you need, it's in the word. See, water is in the word, and the word is in the water. I think I need to repeat that because somebody missed it. If you don't know how to, you don't have to bleed for it. You don't have to go through changes. You don't have to go through crucifixion. All you have to do is hear the word. Moses was so frustrated with frustration caused by the people's murmuring and complaining that he disobeyed God and smote the rock again. Therefore, he could not enter into the promised land. Let me make a few points. Number one, Moses' one thing, it's one thing, Moses is frustrated with the people. When you are frustrated with the people you love, the conflict is overwhelming. See, it's one thing to be angry with people you don't know, but to be angry with your own people you're in covenant with, the confusion is love them. And the next, on one hand is saying to love them, and the next is saying, I want to choke you. If you ain't had that experience yet, just keep getting up and lying down, and sooner or later, you're going to be frustrated with frustration too. See that we're murmuring and complaining, and the reason we're murmuring and complaining was Moses was leading them into trouble. You want to find out how he was leading them into trouble? Number two, don't speak to the wrong thing. God told Moses to speak to the rock. The problem is Moses expresses his self. When you are frustrated with frustration, always has to express, it always has to express itself. Number three, frustration means to express itself. And when you are frustrated and with frustration, always has to express itself. Moses says, okay, God, I'm going down here and I'm going to speak to the rock. After I speak to these people that are murmuring and complaining about me, all right, I'm going to speak to the rock. After I give these people a piece of my mind, well, there is a problem with that. How can you give God's people a piece of your mind when you only got a piece for yourself? I hope you have enjoyed I Had Enough of Frustration. Pretty much for me. We're about to remind you that on Monday night, we have a Jesse Stewart at 8 o'clock, Reverend Jesse Stewart. At 9 o'clock, we have on Wednesday at 8:30, we have Minister Willie J. Band. Thursday night, we have Bishop George Prince, and right back here on Saturday, you have yours truly, Minister Amos Joseph Collins out of Ohio, Ohio. We invite you to catch the word, for the word is falling.